Jeremy O'Driscoll's in the house. I'm so excited. Thanks for being here. So I have to tell you, so we started coaching, how long ago was it with you and your ex?
20?
Well, Bowden was just born, or was...
No, I think it was even before that. Yeah. Yeah, before Bowden. Yeah. Yeah, because you helped us a lot.
Yeah.
To where we ended up having Bowden.
Because how old is he now?
He's 6.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. Yeah. So probably about 6-7 years. And you leave a lasting impression wherever you go. That's for sure. And I want to talk about that because when I still, people don't know this, I don't drop your name, but I still utilize your reflection in a lot of the clients that I work with. And this is the reflection that I give most people is, I know this guy, or I had this client, you know, I just kind of make it vague, that is so incredibly powerful in his truth and the emotions behind it. And so I'm really wanting us to talk about how much freedom and how much power comes in knowing your truth. And I know that there's a lot of things that come with this, right? Because not everybody does this. Actually, I'd say a very small percentage of people are willing to know their truth and speak their truth because there's consequences to this, right? And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. But before we get started, I want to give the listeners just a little bit of context on your story and just kind of hit, I'm thinking specifically, you know, you played extreme sports, a little bit into your relationships and your business. Just kind of give a little bit of context on your story before we dive in so they can get to know you a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, I grew up racing motorcycles, and you know, I think that's probably where what you're saying, me and my belief of core values, I just grew up as a young kid racing, you know, which now I'm doing with my boy, but it just, you know, it was basically any sport you want to be good at, and it's drive, and it's, you know, you then you get knocked down and you get back up and you continue to do it again and you want it even more. And that's what racing motorcycles did for me. And it's just transitioned into, you know, owning my own business now. And
okay, so pause. I don't think people really, I think there's a culture to racing motorcycles though, right? And I love how casually you're saying this, right? It's not like you were you know, playing baseball. It's not like you were, you know, there is, will you give us a little bit more of an idea of what it means to actually be in that sport and the kind of person it takes to be in that sport? Because I've met people who've been there, and you guys all have a pretty common internal like system that's very interesting. Tell me from your perspective, what does it take to do
that? Well, it's not a team sport, so
nope.
It's individual, you know.
Okay.
And so then that's what I feel like separates us from like other sports is that it is you and you.
Okay.
You're really in tune with yourself. Like it's
perfect.
You, it's what, when you pull up to the starting line, it's between you, your motorcycle, and the track.
Yeah.
Like, and you have to believe in yourself, and you have to know the work you've done during the week is going to pay off. And that's probably the biggest gift of it, to be honest. Like, and that's what's so fun now with my boy racing is 6 years old. Like, you know, last year we were cruising around the track slow.
Yeah.
You know, this year I've not only helped him a little bit on the bike, which I really don't want to push him too hard on that because I don't want to burn him out, but I've built him mentally, and his mentally is now he believes. And I pull up to the gate and I'm like, who's the boss, you know? And I'm the boss, you know. And we just get him fully in his head of like he's gonna go out there and show these guys that he's the guy to win.
Yeah.
And that's what it takes. And so, you know, that's where you build. I feel like I built all my confidence and self-worth is like, you know, you go, you know, there's just pulling up to the gate and believing and then doing.
And very specifically relying on yourself, right? Because it is just about you and what your performance is. So, and then you talk about the mental game a little bit. I also want to talk about the intensity of being in that sport. You know, I mean, obviously you're racing fast, but there is a level of even danger, risk, give me a little bit more of like what that experience is like.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the edge. It's adrenaline. You're on the edge, and that's probably what feeds us to keep doing it. Like, there's nothing cooler than that feeling. Like, even to this day, you know, I don't ride as much. I'm busy, but I have to go get that feeling. When I'm stressed out or I'm irritated or I'm frustrated, the best thing I can do is just go get on my motorcycle and just, you know, be aggressive with the throttle and come down off a jump or a section and just, you know, and just... I can take it all out on the track, and then obviously your heart's pumping, it's adrenaline, you get done, and then you know, all your blood flow comes down and you just calms you down,
like,
you know. But that's the best way to describe it, is that you care so much to get the feeling. And it's a free feeling. You can't think about your problems, you can't think about what you're going to do after, you can't think about what you're going to, all you're thinking about is that motorcycle and the technique and riding it and throttle and position. And so it just basically, all your problems go out the window while you're on that motorcycle. And that's the best thing about it.
So, but you do recognize the intensity of what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. And the very specific intensity to the people that, you know, you work with, right? Or you ride with versus other people, right? There is a...
It's aggressive sport.
Yes.
You know, it'd be like UFC or something like that. You know, it builds you into a mentally strong human. It really does. That's because you have to be. And, you know, as far as aggressive side goes to it, it's something you just have to have. That's why I'm trying to teach Bowden that right now. Like, I get him, you know, even on before we go up the race, I'm like, punch my hands, you know. Like, it's hard because you're like, you know, you're teaching him to fight, kind of, but not fight. Like, you're teaching him to, like, this isn't go out there and be in your head. Like, you're out there to do work.
Yeah.
Like, you got to, you know, you can't just go out there. If not, the other kid that wants it worse than you, and that's the thing, too. I'm like, how bad you want it? And he's like, I want it. You know, you got to give him, you got to build him up that way to have the aggression to go out there and do that. And that's, it's all him. It's not him and, you know, 10 other teammates to win this game. It's him and the track and the motorcycle, and if he wants it the most, he's gonna win. And that's where we're kind of getting him right now. He's real young, but it's cool to finally see him get that to where he's like,
well. And the aggression is interesting, right? Because we talk about being mentally strong, which is the very real thought process of staying connected to yourself and the positive thinking, and I can hear that part of it. But what you just described is the embodiment part of that. You're saying, you know, punch my hands, and like, how bad do you want it? There's a very real fuel that you are tapping into that is super grounded. It's actually very primal, right? That's where the aggression part of it comes in, because it's like you have to tap into that very grounded, primal animal in you. And
it's more about just believing in yourself.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. Yeah. It's believing in yourself. And if you can... When I'm teaching him that and doing that, that's getting him to believe.
Yeah.
Right? That's just, I can do this, you know? Like, that's basically what it is.
But can you recognize the aggression or the state that I'm talking about there? I'm putting it in different contexts, and this isn't something we've ever talked about, but how does it feel to you when I say there is this, like, inner animal that kind of has to come out, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're not worried about, like, anybody else, anything else, but there is this power that has to kind of like come up through you, and we can call it aggression. It is a very, you know, and there is a very real energy to that. How do you feel about that when I say that?
No,
like, does it feel accurate?
Well, it's anything in life, right? If you just, right, if you're gonna sit back and be like, I'm gonna have some business, some people will call me, and it will come.
Yeah.
You're not going to do anything. If you're like, well, okay, I'm going to go out and knock doors, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to call contractors, or I'm going to do whatever it takes to get business because I want to make money and I want to build connections and relationships, right? It's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, so if you just pull up to the starting gate and we're not having any conversations and he's just like, I'm here to race. I'm going to race my dirt bike. It sounds soft, and which most of the time, everybody in life, no one wants confrontation. Nobody wants to be aggressive all the time. That doesn't feel good. So you're right. When you line up, it's just the same thing. If you were to start a business or whatever, you've got to get serious.
Yeah.
And that's all we're trying to do is, you know, teach them to get serious. Well, and then that's brings that other animal you're talking about out of you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I don't want the point to what I'm making here too is really eliminating the judgment on what this aggression is, what that animal in you is, what that primal nature is. And I love the way you just brought it into your work. I'm gonna have you keep going with your story so everybody kind of knows some of the things. So you own your own business, and you've taken some of those pieces into creating your own business too. And I think this is key, right? Because there is a competition with yourself. There is an aggression. There is a motivation. There's a groundedness to really going and building something like that as well. So keep going a little bit with your story, but also how you utilize some of these, you know, some of those, that framework into your life as well.
Yeah. Just, I think really just as I raced motorcycles and I got knocked down, like I'd get hurt. You're going to get hurt. I'd get hurt and then I'd have to dig deep. Right. That was emotionally like, here I put all this energy in to go to this race or go to this event, and then now I'm hurt, and I'm hurt that quick. And then it's like, oh man, now I got 6 months, can't do anything, I'm off the bike, can't even walk, whatever. And then, so just those ups and downs, yeah. I feel like is what builds, you know, as you said, you've met with a bunch of us, but it builds you into a stronger person.
Yeah.
Just because you're dealing with emotions, highs and lows,
yep.
highs and lows, highs and lows, highs yep. and lows. So you got to yep. process that. So, you know, as far as life goes, you know, my story, I, you know, get done racing 2013, race a little bit 2014, decide I want to do more. You know, I had a lot of injuries. That's kind of what made me, you know, be done. And you know, I had an opportunity to, you know, my mom was like, yeah, your dad wants to retire, you know, let's get you working more and put your energy into that. And so we do that. And then, you know, I had an accident on a snowmobile. I got back into snowmobile and I was done riding and I got in a head on with a guy on a mountain and blew my spleen apart and I almost bled out and died. And then that was the first time that I'm like, wow, I've been hurt a million times, but I've never almost died. And I was like, man, I've never had kids. I've never gotten married. And you know, at the time I was, you know, dating my ex-wife. We'd only been dating for like 2 months. And, you know, to be honest, I rushed it.
Yeah.
I rushed and she took care of me and she, showed up for me and she was, you know, caring and was with me in the hospital and basically told her work, like, sorry, if you want to fire me, this guy's my priority. And I'm like, wow, this woman really cares. And, you know, she just showed up in all the ways that a man really needs, you know, and so we continued to date, but we dated 9 months or eight months, nine months we were married. And I'd had girlfriends and I'd had relationships and I'd had even 2-year-long relationships. And some of them were probably for the wrong reasons. You know, you get into relationships with, you know, you're in them and they're toxic and you stay in them for intimacy or whatever the reason is. And you know, it's probably not good, but then we're all trying to figure it out, sure. Right? We don't have it figured out. 1 minute we have our best friend, the next minute we have our lover, the next minute, you know, like we're like, what's right, wrong? You know, is a lover going to keep us lasting forever? Is, you know, a best friend, you know, what is it? Well, you know, I think at the time I'd been through some relationships that were pretty toxic, and you know, I am strong-minded, and that isn't easy. I mean, it's not an easy thing for most women to deal with.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not perfect. So, you know, I met her and she seemed to be there and take care. And I'm like, oh, you know, we are like best friends. We're not, you know, we're not crazy lovers or, you know, we obviously had that, but it wasn't our strong point. Our strong point was taking care of each other. And, you know, we were there for each other. We wanted to help each other. And she'd been through things in her life and, you know, lost a parent. And, you know, I felt like I was, you know, I was emotional mature enough to be able to like take care of her if she allowed me to. And she did do that at the beginning, you know, she allowed me to do it. But, you know, 9 months is not long enough, period, the end. My advice to anybody, date someone 2 years.
Well, and to your point, you both were going through some pretty decent trauma, right? Like you both were going through some big things in your life and you're like, we were there for each other for those things, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that her trauma was pretty, you know, She was 13 when her mom passed away, you know, but it's, and she was, what, 20?
That
she
makes
was
sense.
26, 27. So it had been a while, but with my situation, you know, like, yeah. And then, you know, I was done racing. This happened. I was 27, 28. I'm like, I'm getting older. You know, now I've never even had any kids. I almost just died. I almost bled out. It's like ICU trauma one, you know, get this guy in. He's bleeding out. So did that. And so, yeah, we got married too soon. That's really what happened. And, you know, I should have dated her longer. I always said I'm going to date somebody and live with them. And I didn't do it. You know?
So you get married. And obviously you have one child, right? Tell me a little bit about the progression of relationship for you, right? Because when we talk about some of this, it's you and yourself in the competition in yourself. It's all the emotion. It's the primal, sorry. It's the primal instincts that you have on the track and everywhere. And then you get into relationship and it's like, how does that translate? Right? There's, I think it's a little tricky because that model, that framework, when you bring a relationship in or even a woman in some ways, right? It's like, okay, well, how does partnership work when I have been really good at competing with myself and really tapping into this aggression? And, you know, so what did you start to learn about yourself in relationship when it comes to where you're at this point in your life?
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, I was still young in that, you know, in that aspect. I, you know, relationships that I was in before too, looking back at them, you know, I've always been, you know, wanted to connect on a deep level. I've always been helpful. I'm a man. I can fix things. I can do things. That's my way of, like, you know, showing a woman I care about her, and, you know, little things, thoughtful, but I'm not the guy that brings flowers and all. I'm just not that guy. I show it in other ways. But, you know, I think that looking back to with me and my life and racing and everything, you know, a lot of the stuff was about me.
Yeah.
Right. It was about me. And I didn't mean to have it that way. It just, I was doing this and this and this, and they were more just doing day-to-day life. And so it seemed like it was more about me, which I think that was hard for a lot of them to accept. They wanted to, like, have it either be more equal or whatever, right? But they also knew what they were getting into. I was still racing motorcycles, so if you want to be part of that, then hey, you know, you'll have to come with. If you don't want to be part of it, then, you know, you have that choice too. But
yeah,
they did it, and then obviously didn't like it too, you know.
So. Okay, now you're starting to bump up on the part where I'm like, really framing this entire podcast on, and it's starting to come out in you, which is what I want to have happen. I want the listeners to really see, because this is the part where people start to struggle, right? The part where, yes, it's all about you. And we could really try and say, oh, well, now I can see why this didn't work and it should have been about them. And this is where we start to get into societal ideas, I believe, of what relationships should be. But this is the part where I want you to really dive in and kind of show is that you stay connected to you, right? When you guys come in and we start diving into your relationship, the thing that stuck out the most was that you were always very, very honest and raw. And I'm going to use the word highly emotional on purpose, right? Mm-hmm. Because that it was so powerful no matter what you said. And I'm not saying that you had universal truth. That's not what I'm saying, right? I'm saying that you held your truths in a way that made it so I think a lot of people have a survival strategy of people pleasing, right? Or wearing masks in society and saying, okay, this is how I need to show up in order to get approval or value. Or again, this is what society says is powerful or whatever it is. And a lot of people will wear a lot of masks and they will learn how to tell truths based off of, I know this is going to make you happy. Now, people aren't doing this consciously most of the time, right? It's just something that they learned growing up. And it's like, I know how to avoid conflict and I know how to gauge somebody else and see where they're at and kind of tailor where, you know, where I'm at in order. And it was like, you couldn't, or you refused to do this. Right. And so I think it's really important to really recognize this.
Coming back to myself and believing in yourself and confidence and everything. It's like, why would I go out and get in a relationship and be like, this is me. Wait a minute. Just kidding. It's not me. Like,
who is but that, that happens yeah. all the oh, time.
All the time. Every day, all day. And I try, yeah. I try to tell everybody that. Like, you show up. If you can't show up your fully self and who you are 100% and that person accepts, don't go be mad at the other person.
Yeah.
It's your own fault.
Yeah.
It's not – you can't sit and be mad that they did this or they did that and whatever. At the end of the day – you weren't whole with yourself, so you wanted this person for whatever the reason is, whether you're super attracted to them or whatever. And then they don't even meet the person that you are, exactly. truly, but you're also not showing up your full self. And yep. you don't want to be with anybody unless you're your full self and they accept it completely.
Well, and so subconsciously, I know that the first phase of a lot of relationships is this role mate idea. And the role mate idea is, when I get into a relationship, this is the role that I believe I'm supposed to play. And usually it comes from our parents. It's like, okay, well, now I'm a wife, so this is what it looks like. Or now I'm a mom, and so this is what it looks like. I'm a husband, so it should look like this. And in some ways, I feel like you might even at times feel confused why people don't do what you do. Because it almost feels yeah. like it's very difficult for you to even understand why people put on these masks or why all of a sudden they show up differently. But at the same time, there's a shadow side to this, right? Because standing in your power and standing in your truth doesn't mean people are going to like it, right? And you do make people uncomfortable in a lot of ways truth.
A lot of people mad. There's a lot of people that don't like me.
Yeah.
And it's because I say it how it is. I do as I say. I follow through. And it's funny because I always said, well, I don't care what people think, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. If they don't like me, they don't like me. And there is truth to that.
There has to be enough truth.
At the same time, I'm still a human. I do, yes. I do care.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, and it's so it's like, well, you know, how do I?
But it's like showing up at that track, right? And saying, if I sit and care about everybody else around me, I'm going to lose it, right? I'm going to lose the race. I can't do that. And I think it's such a good framework for life. Again, everybody has different frameworks, but yours specifically is so interesting and so powerful because you do show up to the track, you do show up to the job, you do show up to the relationship, and you tap into that emotion, you tap into that power, you tap into your truth, and again, it almost seems difficult or impossible for you not to. It's almost like you've wired your whole system to say, tell me about that.
Well, I like to feel. You know, it's
yeah.
all about feeling. And that comes from the motorcycle too, right? It's a feeling.
Yeah.
So it's like, if whether I'm feeling high or low or whatever, like I just take all feelings for what they are now. And I'm actually way better at that now than I was even 5 years ago, right? Like a good feeling, bad feeling, taking a bad feeling, turning it into a good feeling, like looking at being way more open with all
of it. But allowing yourself to feel all of it.
Yeah, I want to feel it all.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't feel the crap times, I wouldn't feel the best times of my life.
Yeah.
And that's the best part. Like that's what life's about. Like
yeah.
there's nothing cooler than, you know, like it's just funny too, because like now that Bowden's racing, he'll pull off the track or he'll do something. We'll just be out there practicing. He'll just like come over a jump and he's like turns his handlebars and I come up and I'm just like, holy cow, kid. Like I didn't even teach him that, you know? And it's just like, he's a mini me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started like crying. Like it's pathetic. Like I'm like, holy cow. Like,
wait,
hang on. When I say that, let me finish. Okay. Like, it's like, gosh, I'm such a baby, but like, it's the coolest feeling. You know what I mean? Like it is so cool to be like, oh my gosh, he just did that. And I didn't even tell him to do that. Like he's a mini me.
Yeah.
Like, and it just chokes me up. And I just, my eyes are all water. I'm like, holy cow, pull it together, you know? Or then he pulls off the track and does this, whatever. Like, it's just, I'm always like, teary-eyed now.
Yeah.
It's like crazy. And it's like, I feel, you know, it's funny because, like, from a man, right? It's like, most men are like, that's weak. And it's, to me, I catch myself in that moment. I'm like, gosh, man, I'm just emotional. But like, I love it because at the same time, like, that's a cool feeling of life. That is truly what I want to live for, is all those moments of life. Like, there's enough crap in life that you can't get into that deep of emotions to where it's like when you have those, you got to appreciate those too.
You walked me right into a conversation I really want to have. And that is, you can tell that there's that voice or that programming in your head still, right? That's, you know, you hear outside of you that like, I'm a man, or that's pathetic, right? You hear that voice in your head, which they're just narratives. They're things that you've picked up on. But if you really dig into this, right, you just talked about life isn't really worth living without it, right? And what we're talking about when we talk about emotions is that power in everything that you do, right? The connection that you have in that moment, right? If you didn't get teary-eyed in that moment when he did that, you would have thought the thought in your head, right? It would have been a cognitive, like, oh my gosh, he's like me. And you would have thought that, you know, that would have been kind of fun. But there's nothing better than when it's connected to the actual emotion of it, right? Because then I think it's 500 times more powerful to be in emotion than it is a thought. And so I love that, again, that you still kind of have some of the narrative that we pick up from society. But stay with me here for a second, because being a man and being emotional is something that I see a lot of in my practice. And I see a lot of women specifically, and I'm gendering, and it's not always this simple, but it is fairly common to see a lot of women who are supposed to be emotional, right? Like, because I'm a woman, right? I'm supposed to be so emotional. And we hold that as a stereotype in a very big way. But what I see most of the time, or a lot of the time, is women can talk about emotions. We have circles that we can say, oh, this is how I'm feeling. And like, it's very acceptable and sometimes expected to talk about our emotions, but talking about them and feeling them are two different things. Mm-hmm. And so, and men, you know, have this stereotype of like, oh, we shouldn't be emotional and we should talk about all of these things that like, maybe don't matter, whatever, right? Like the game on, you know, it's just like there's this stereotype when it comes to this. And so being a man and being emotional is a subject that I'm really passionate about, because one, being a woman and feeling safe in my emotions and letting myself get to the space where I can be emotional, which AKA means powerful and connected to me, right? What is that like for you? What comes up for you specifically when you think, like when you're hanging out with your friends or when you're in relationship, or again, when you're picking up on some of these things? Because I personally believe that that is what we all want to experience as humans, but not everybody's good at it, right? To really let them feel the embodiment of what it is that you're feeling, whether we're saying good or bad feelings, whatever, you know, it is, but it's energy. You're connected to, you're embodied.
Well, that's what's funny too, is like, you know, my dad, obviously he's 70 years old.
Okay.
His older generation, you know, you think it's the one thing now. Back then, like, emotions mm-hmm. were not even a thing for a man. Like, you don't even go there. Like, that's weak or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's...
You could even get like... the belt if you had emotions, right? Like in some of those ages. Sure. Yeah.
And the thing is like, it's funny because my dad, he's emotional, period. Yeah. But he doesn't show it. He doesn't want to show it all the time. And he's shown it more as he's gotten older.
Yeah.
And even if he doesn't show it, it's the things he says or what. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, dude, you're a big teddy bear. You know,
yeah.
Like you can try to put on that, you know, I'm a man and man's man. He is. The guy can do anything he puts his mind to. He's built this, done that, gosh, rebuilt cars. I mean, he's, if anybody's more of a man than him, that's top notch. Like, truly. Like, yeah, I'm not just saying that because he's my dad. Like, he literally can do anything and everything. And there's a lot of great men, whatever, out there that can do a lot of manly stuff, but like my dad, he will literally do anything and everything. It's crazy. He doesn't like people doing stuff for him, and he just wants to learn it and do it. And that way, he's taught me a ton that way. And I still will probably, when I say this in that way, I will probably never be the man he was that way. I'll be the
and
man.
And you're specifically talking about
like just
building and fixing and like taking very physical things and putting them together and deciding how they work. And like mm-hmm. that's kind of how we're defining a man at this moment.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. But, you know, it's as he's, you know, as he's gotten older and I've watched it, you know, I mean, just the way he takes care of my mom now, like, you know, my mom, her knees are rough shape and her back and just, you know, he makes her breakfast every Saturday and like, anything she needs, and he's like, yeah, I can't do this because your mom needs me today, you can't. And I'm like, holy cow, like he's showing me a whole nother side of a man. Nice. Too, like, which is cool, right?
Yeah.
And I've had to learn to accept, you know, there's been things like I've always wanted his validation.
Yeah,
you know. And
yeah,
and it took me a long time to be like, you know, I'll never forget it. If he watches this podcast, he's probably gonna kill me right now, but at the same time he's like, I was coming home from riding and it was when after my divorce, I went down to Mesquite. I drove down there in my van by myself and I just went riding for the day and I just wanted to ride. And I was coming home and I was telling him about it because he raced with me. I mean, he's the one that got me into racing. He's the one that did it all with me, or best friends, whatever. And, you know, I just was like, yeah, I like the bike. I did, you know, suspension. I did this. I changed this. And we're late. And, you know, and then we were talking even some more. And I don't remember what brought us into it. And I'm like, you know, all I ever want from you is like, you're killing it, dude. You're doing a good job. And I'm like, I just, you know, I know you're never going to tell me that. And I said, I know when you're going to tell me that. And it's when you're laying in your bed and you're taking your last breath. And he's gonna be like, I'm proud of the man you became. And he's like, all right, this is too deep for me. It's time to get off the phone now. You know, and I'm like, yeah, dude, that's exactly you. But, and it's.
But hold on. That is such a good picture for so many people in our lives, right? Wanting our parents' love, validation, energy, whatever it is, whatever we've been taught. Mm-hmm. And you're the next generation in a very big way. And in some ways, like you're really teaching him, right? You're really saying, I'm going to lead the way in this, right? I'm going to call this out, which is very vulnerable to say, right? Not a lot of people will even address their parents in that much truth and that much vulnerability, right? We'll think it, or some of us won't even be conscious of it. We'll just keep like trying to get it subconsciously. But you were conscious enough to say like, I know what I want from you. And I'm going to be vulnerable enough to say it, which is terrifying in a lot of ways. Because you bring up your parents, tell me where you think you got the safety. And I'm going to use this word specifically because it's reframing this is going to get there's a reframing to what you do that I think is really important. And so where do you think the safety came from for you to live in your truth, for you to have the emotions that you have, for you to like, do you feel like they fostered that? Or do you feel like it's just kind of like your soul and you don't really know anything? Like, tell me about growing up.
I think it was my, you know, that's a good question. I feel like it is who I am. I think I'm an old soul.
Yeah.
Like everybody that I hang out with most of the time, like my closest friends are all old. Like they are. They're my dad's age or a little younger.
Yeah.
Like I have buddies that are my age or a little, but we don't hang out as much as I hang out with these older people. I feel like I relate better with them. I don't know why.
Well, maybe hanging out with your dad a lot or whatever.
Oh, my dad, we hang out all the time.
You
know? Yeah. It's like, and it's, you know, and obviously I worked for him. And then when I left his business, you know, and started my own, it's funny because, you know, he was mad at me. And a lot of people think that, you know, oh, Jeremy's parents owned a business and, you know, he raced and had a lot and he was spoiled when he was growing up. And I was. But what people don't know is my dad was hard on me in a lot of ways. Like he was, as far as like work goes and stuff, he was good to me. Like he gave me time off to do things. And, you know, I didn't. But as far as like,
he wasn't going to hand you anything though.
He wasn't going to hand me anything. I worked, started at $8 an hour and I, you know, I worked for a whole year. Okay. You get $9, you know, like it's just, people don't see all that. Yeah. He helped me. And I think part of him, doing those things now, looking back, and that's what I tell him too. And whether or not he planned it, he knows, and he'll probably never tell me how he planned to be a dad, whether he planned that or it went that way. You know, it took me a while, but I've accepted that it's went how it's went for a reason. And he did his job, and he did a dang good job. Yeah. And I actually respect him way more now because I'm like, you know what, dude? Whether I wanted to be you and start my own business and you want to be mad at me for leaving, you know, that's fine. You can be mad at me for leaving. But at the end of the day, if you're only going to look at it in that one way, you know, I just want to be you. Like, how can you not see that? Like, I want to be you. You've done your job. You've taught me to work. Now I want to go start my own business.
I mean, it's the greatest compliment as a parent.
Yeah, like, you've done a dang good job. Like, you should be stoked that I want to not ride your coattails
anymore. Don't have to rely on you, right? Yeah. Like, I am a sovereign, powerful man and being, so that is the greatest compliment to them. And I think
that's what probably hurt him the most, is he wants me to rely on him still, you know? Yeah. He wanted me to be his little dude forever, sure, whatever, right? Sure. Which I get it. When Bowden gets old enough one day and I'm not as cool anymore or whatever, and he's off doing his own thing, necessarily, doesn't need me, I'm going to be like, dang, you know? Yeah. Like, so now having a kid, my boy too, like, I'm understanding all of this stuff.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's taken, and that's life.
It is.
You just have a kid, and then you go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Oh, now I see why, even like with business, you know, even I'm like, we need to grow more. We need to do more. You know, we need to hire more guys. I have enough work. And he's like, I don't want to hire another guy. I don't want to buy another truck. You know, and I get so irritated with him, and it's like, I get it now, because you hire more guys and you go after more work, and then all of a sudden you got all this work and one guy quits or decides he doesn't want to do doors anymore or whatever, and then he's off and gone, and then you're like, oh, I got all this work and I'm left with all that. Like, it's a hard balance, and he'd probably tried and then tried to grow, and then that happened, and then there's other times that he grew and it was okay, and then some more stuff happened. It's like he was at a spot where he's like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I make enough money. I'm happy. I don't have to deal with all the stresses of more employees. Like, it's a hard thing.
Yeah.
So I understand all that more now. Like, things that I would battle him with, you know, I'd be like, dude, I can't believe you're so stupid. You know, like, and it's like, now I get that. Yeah. Like, it's trials of life. Of
totally.
Like, things you go through. It's funny because we're all young and we want to argue and we think we know so much, but really we don't until we actually have lived in those same ways,
right? It's true. And yet again, for the parents listening, I mean, I do believe we learn a lot from our kids, right? Like, I do believe that you're still taking and evolving anything that he did in some ways, right? So they do know more than we realize, right? And we do have a lot to learn from them. Mm-hmm. So for you, as I'm picturing you growing up, and as I'm picturing you, you know, really hanging out with your dad and learning what a man is supposed to be, you know, whatever that model is, tell me a little bit about the fostering of, do you feel like conflict just became easier for you because you were always just kind of in your truth and again, you know, passionate about things that you're doing? Or do you feel like, again, that your parents really did foster some safety in that? Because this could have gotten shut down a lot. And maybe a lot of people did try and get it to shut down, right? Because when somebody's passionate, when somebody's aggressive, when somebody's powerful and they're in their truth, and it's not, you know, we're not taming them to be whatever society thinks they should be. Tell me a little bit about that.
That's exactly it. The thing is my parents, I didn't feel heard growing up.
Okay.
I really didn't.
Okay.
And that's probably really why.
You're like, so I just kept screaming louder.
Well, I did. Yeah. And I was, you know, I was an argumentative kid. I really was. I was difficult that way. I was just but I think by them always shut me down, like it messed with me big time, you know, to where I finally was like, you know what, I'm me. You know, and I'm me, and, you know, they need to accept me for me too. Mm. Like, and I wasn't like bratty about it, but it was more like, you guys can try to control this or that, or tell me I can or can't or whatever all the time. And I'm just getting frustrated. And obviously nothing's going to change. They're just being parents, which parents can get stuck.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And, you know, to where I was like, well, I'm, I, you know, I'm just going to have to work on this on my own, come in tune with myself and who I am. And like,
do you remember about the age that you felt the kind of rebellion, right? Because people have two different choices here and it's nuanced, but a lot of kids that are shut down or are too much or are labeled for whatever reason and whatever things, right? They're a difficult kid, right? You're still carrying that around. And we could really relabel that if we wanted to, right? Like, because again, you're powerful. You have truths. You have questions. You're curious. You're seizing the world as a creator and you have a lot of emotions. And again, there's kids out there like this, right? And more, I think, are happening. And so you have two choices. One of them is you learn to shut down, right? You learn that in order to survive in the world, in order to be part of this family, in order to be accepted into this school, in order to like really survive in a very big way, I'm going to have to shut down or be smaller or tame myself in order to be this. And so do you remember about the age where you feel like...
Oh, I was a late bloomer too.
Okay.
Right? Like, so even in high school, I looked like I was 12.
Okay. You know,
when I graduated high school, I was just short, had a high pitched voice, like, and I, you know, a lot of people at school, hey Tammy, you know, they'd make fun of me, and
oh wow,
and I never went to school dance, and I, you know, I wouldn't say I went inward, like you're saying, shutting down inward, whatever.
Yeah.
It was like I did that, but then I was like, yeah, I don't really care anyways. I race dirt bikes, and I'm going to just focus on me and do my dirt bikes, and you know, I don't really care what these people think. And
some of that was a defense mechanism to your point, right?
Like I had to I had to talk to myself and like cover up what was going on.
Yes,
right? So I'm like, yeah, I just do that, but it worked.
Yeah.
It did, because then I just kept, and that's, you know, my dad kept me racing and kept me going and kept me doing, you know, and then, you know, I ended up racing AMA Supercross, which is like the highest level, which, yeah, I didn't make a living at it and become a factory rider and make millions of dollars. I made money at it, but it was just enough to keep going and do it, and I got to a point where I wasn't putting money in the bank and then getting hurt all the time. But, you know, I feel like... there once I did that, and then I shot up and I matured, and then all these kids from school and everything are like, Jeremy, hey, they all want to be my friend, man, we gotta hang out, and I thought, yeah, right, you're so phony, like, I know who you are, you never showed up your true self from the get-go,
yeah,
you gave me so much shit,
yeah,
and I'm not like, no,
yeah,
you know, and there's a lot of kids that were like that. I just, and that doesn't mean I was some great celebrity, right? And they all want to be my friend, but they thought they could get something from me at that point, right? Like whether it was I had a bunch of girls around me or whatever, or hanging out, or they bought a dirt bike and they want to come riding with me now because I could make them better rider or whatever. And it's like, nah, I saw you for you day one. That's it.
Well, and
I've always been that way.
I was going to say, you're really touching on the power and the freedom of truth, but also the difficulty of it, right? It's like, there was a version of you that was like, hey, there was a day where I really wanted to be friends with you. There was a day that I really, you know, like, and because I'm so relentless about this truth of mine, right? I can't unsee what I saw, right? And in that is a connection and an accountability to authenticity and the truth of what somebody is. And there is just a very real connection to that space. I want to go back to the safety aspect of this because I think this is really important. I wouldn't say that a lot of people in your world necessarily would recognize this power and this truth and this aggression, this animal, this primal instinct, all of these things that we're talking about, this emotion, right? I would say that people around you would not realize the safety in this, right? Because I think it's extremely intimidating. And I don't think we in the society or in culture or in connection, our nervous systems are not used to showing up this big. And we're not used to being able to stay in our truth or connected. And so, again, we've really just learned how to survive in other ways. And so I want to use the word safety here because it feels scary to a lot of people around. I want to define this as safety especially for me, because what makes me feel the safest, and when you get into the deepest parts of ourselves, is it is that truth, right? Whether we like it or not, truth is far more powerful. There's a ton of freedom in it. And knowing where you stand, not having things in the shadows, whether they're lies, whether they're masks, whether they're, you know, whatever they are, it's like what you see is what you get with you. And there is such a massive safety to that that I don't think people recognize. And I think other people could really benefit from the idea of if I'm big, if I'm aggressive, if I'm emotional, if I say what I want, I might make other people uncomfortable, yet it's one of the most loving things and the most safe things I think you can do in relationship. So
and with yourself
and with yourself and, specifically with yourself, yeah. Yeah, anytime you're betraying yourself in any way, it's you're gonna feel that fragmented self, and it's not powerful.
It's a feeling too. Yes, right? It's yes, like, and it's feeling good with yourself is no better way,
yeah,
you know, of life. And it's,
yeah,
and you know, if you have, and I've always been a guy like, I don't need friends. Like, the friends that I want are friends that are real and that can see me for me and accept me and appreciate me. I mean, even, you know, even Jeff.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I hear conversations that come, you know, he tells us this and this, and I finally like just lay into him. I'm like, Jeff, like, you know, and I get going with him, and it's like, and the coolest part about me and Jeff's relationship, like, we don't hang out all the time, but we do hang out and we are buddies and we've had a relationship for a long time. But he, you know, he respects me for that. And that's probably that right there. He's like, no, dude, thanks so much. Like,
because I think people really want this.
Yeah.
They really want to be able to be in their truth, to be able to say their truth, to be able to talk and have that much freedom to be able to be connected to you, right? I think so many of us really wish we had that in a very big way.
Well, and there's people that's, you know, said things to me and whatever too, right?
Sure.
And I'm a human, and I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know, whatever, reactive to, sure, it, whatever. And sure. And then if I actually,
doesn't mean that wasn't your truth at the moment, though.
Yeah. And if I sit back for a minute, I'm like, you know, I do that.
Yeah.
And I probably shouldn't do that. And they're not wrong. And like, I'm glad they brought that up, because now I can actually realize it. And
just the attacking part, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think I get reactive or defensive on the attack. If they would use the approach different, you know, it wouldn't change a thing.
Right.
Right?
That's my point.
But it wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah.
Because they said what they said.
Yeah.
And right, if I'm going to sit here and get mad at them, I'm getting mad at myself.
Yeah.
I do it. I've done that. Right.
Yeah.
So, and it took me a while to learn that too. You know,
yeah,
like, it's not like I'd always just get defensive and think that I'm right or whatever. And I'm not always right.
Well, no, but again, at least you give yourself the space to be whatever is in that moment. Right. And so it's not necessarily about what's right or wrong. That's not the conversation we're having.
Yeah, but that's a whole nother thing.
That's an entirely different conversation. Yeah. But what we are talking about is being authentically true to whatever is in this moment, and having the power to and the emotion behind it to express it. Right. To really, yeah, express that. Let's move it into relationship for a minute, because I know one of the big conversations, and you can kind of play around this without whatever makes you feel comfortable here. But I know one of the big conversations was intimacy, was sex, was the fact that you are so embodied, right? And you have all these highs and lows, and you have this like this adrenaline that will go off. And then again, we go into intimacy. Right. And you show up the same way everywhere you go. Right. This is you. This is you showing up in very connected moments, very intense moments. And I could argue it's the most intense thing we really can experience as relationship or as a human. Right. So I kind of want to touch on this a little bit, because a lot of people, just like everywhere else, they want the freedom to be themselves. They want to tell them their truth. They want that primal nature of being able to be an animal if they want to do, or the depths, or the emotion of living, which again is just power. It's energy that's moving through your body, right? They want the permission to do this. They want to be able to be this big and be able to contain that. In intimacy, it's the same thing, right? They want what they see in the movies, or they want what they read in the books. And I'm kind of going a little bit into the feminine side because that is the romance side of that. It's the connection side. If you go into more of the stereotype of what men talk about, right? It could be, you know, it could be just the emotion. It could be the positions. It could be different, a different viewpoint, but it's still the same thing, in my opinion, of how powerfully, how present, right? I show up to the track. I show up to the bedroom, right? I show up to work, and I'm going to show up the same way everywhere. And not everybody has the container, the nervous system, the ability to go deep, to stay present, and to be connected to that kind of emotion. So walk me through a little bit what that is meant for you. And I know, again, we coached, you know, 7 years ago. I know that was even a big subject without, you know, bringing her or whatever else into that. I think this is relevant because there is so much power in this container in relationship. And I know men and women specifically, you know, they a lot of times they'll have different pictures on what it should look like, or they have different frameworks. But nonetheless, everybody is still wanting, in my opinion, to be able to feel the depth, to be able to feel the emotion, to be able to feel the connection. And I think you've had to fight for this just like everything else in your life, right? Because again, it's not like you do anything halfway. Right. Yeah, so give me a little bit of an idea on what that's meant for you in relationship.
Well, I just think that, I mean, that's definitely number one for me in a relationship nowadays, you know, and it isn't just sex. It is connecting fully, yeah, on a deep level. It's about, you know, take sex out of it. It's about validating each other, rubbing each other's backs, giving each other a kiss, welcoming each other home. Like, that's a connection. And it's a feeling.
But start specifically in some of the first experiences you've had, because this is where I think you stayed really true to yourself. And I think I know that when you came into like my office and we were talking, and you were like, again, passionately talking about this subject, it takes a lot of courage to do this, right? But I do believe most people are thinking the things that you're thinking, and they're wanting the things that you're wanting, but they just don't believe or have the courage to stand up and get it, right? There's a very real, I think that's the frustration you might have had even in some of your previous relationships was, if you're not going to show up with me fully here and fully emotional and be able to reciprocate, you know, give me some context in that space for you.
Well, I think people that aren't willing to let go and go there, they have a lot of other stuff they haven't let go or can go there, right? Like they have other reasons.
Oh, for sure.
There's not, you know, and that's what's hard is, like, you could connect on people, and I would say even my ex-wife, like, really, you know, even before we ever got married, I think she just showed up because she knew I wanted that, and I expressed it, and I, you know,
or that's what she was supposed to do.
Yeah, this is what I want. This is, you know, what I need. This is, you know, I've always been one to, I'm not gonna sit here. I'm gonna get it all out on the table. I need this. I want this. I want to feel this. So like, can you hang or not? You know, if it and.
And for anybody listening, this is normal for you, yeah, but most people won't do this. That's the part, yeah, that I don't think you realize is, like, being able to show up for yourself and be that honest and that powerful and say, these are the things that I want to experience. Like, and I am not going to betray myself in this. It's okay if you don't want to be here, right? Yeah, like, it's okay, exactly, if you don't want these things, but I'm going to get them.
Well, yeah. And at the same time, it's like, listen, why would I do you a disjustice too of wasting time?
Yeah.
You're going to come in here and say, yeah, I could do that because whatever reason, you're tired of being alone.
Yeah.
What you want to be in a relationship, whatever. Like, no, let's not do that to each other.
Yeah.
Let's just.
You experience this in dating. Is that where you're going?
Yeah. Like it's, and I did, and a lot of people were, oh man, you're forward. You're out there. You're too much. Like I've heard all that too. And it's like, no, at the end of the day, I don't want to sit here and waste time.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted you have a decision now that you can do that. And if I don't fit with your fit, then we ain't going to fit either way anyway. So it doesn't really matter. Like, it's okay. You've got a better fit out there for you that, you know, everybody's different.
Totally.
It's so, you know, I just, that really came after my divorce even more, you know, because it was like.
You knew yourself even more after the divorce, right? Like, I compromised in certain things, or I experienced these things in my marriage, and I'm not going to do it again necessarily. There's a big part of you that's like, I know myself even more. And again, people go into the dating scene, or they go into even business or whatever it is, and they put on a mask. They say, oh, this is how I'm going to show up now. And then, to your point, right, years later or whatever it is, it's like the mask comes off and we're all surprised. Yeah. And for you, I just think there's a huge part, huge lesson for people in
this. That's a huge problem.
Yeah.
It's not even little. Like, you do that and you start a family, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Because not only did you just do yourself a disjustice, now you did your husband or wife, because it can go both ways.
Totally.
A disjustice.
Yep.
And now you did your kids a disjustice. Now they get to live in a divorced family. Yep. Like, that's terrible. Like, nobody wants to do that. I never came from a divorced family. I never wanted to be divorced. It wasn't even a thing. I hung on for so long, but life's about being happy too. And I'm not going to thrive in any way if I'm not happy, period, the end.
You know?
Happiness is key. I tell anybody that. I had a buddy that just, his chick just up and left him. You know, he calls me up crying like a little baby. And I was like, holy cow. Like, I'm like, come on, dude, get it together. You know, I'm not, it's fine. You can feel the emotions. But any girl that just ups and leaves you, you don't want to be with that anyways.
Yeah.
If she won't even talk anything out with you, you know, I'm like, she did you a favor.
Yeah.
You know, she showed you who she is. You didn't marry her. You didn't have kids with her. Perfect. You're free, dude. You don't have to co-parent with this person. You don't have to do nothing anymore. Like, you can go try again. Yeah, but learn from that. Think about all the red flags there probably was that you ignored because you just wanted to be in a relationship or you liked certain things about her. But now pay attention to any red flags that you may have seen. And if you see those again in another girl, they ain't going to work for you.
Well, and more importantly, from your perspective, I think this is key, because it's not necessarily that you need to look for somebody else's red flags. Not that you don't, right? I'm not saying that we're not looking externally, but this is the point that I really want to drive home in this conversation is, it's not that when you go into dating, it's not that you weren't looking for certain things, but more specifically, you knew yourself. And you were willing to put that out there. You were willing to say, look, this is all of me. Up until this point in my life, this is all I know, right? But this is all of me. And I'm willing to put that out there. And then you give the permission for somebody to interact with that, which again is you're watching that. Again, you know how you want to interact with somebody. But I think it's the part where we don't have the courage to feel the rejection or be too much or be too emotional or ask for too much and not get it. Everybody
wants to be accepted.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, everybody wants to be accepted. And that's where I just stay true to myself, because it's like, this is me. This is what I want. This is how da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And it's like, either you want to accept me for that or you don't. And like, it's okay if you don't.
Yeah.
I don't hate you. I don't nothing. Like, but we didn't waste any more time. We're not going to go down the road and whatever, tie finances to get whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's just let you go find your person, I'll find mine, but like, let's just get this out. And I think everybody should be like that, truly.
I know you do.
I totally agree. And I get why people aren't.
Yes.
They've been taught different things, like upbringings are the biggest thing, right?
Yeah.
Trauma, like there's a million reasons why.
Yeah.
But I just feel like it's, again, with me and me, I'm being true to myself. And if this person accepts me, then this is something.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard, right? Again,
it's extremely hard. And I don't think, I know you interact with enough people that you do realize that you're an anomaly in some ways, right? That it's like, not a lot of people operate this way.
Well, and then you can have people like I feel in my situation that, you know, matched me, read me, right? It's a thing. They read me and were like, oh, I could do that. I could show up. And they, right? She probably wanted something out of me.
Totally.
Right?
Yep.
And so here she does this. Instead of her focusing on, I want to learn from this guy and opening and being like, I'm going to let this guy guide me in these strengths that he has to bring me more as an open person and stronger and wiser and better, right? She just battled it and fought it and didn't want to go there. So it was like, and that doesn't mean me saying I'm greater than her, right? Maybe she can balance her emotions better than me and not be so reactive. And that was my lesson to learn from her. But unless you have an open enough mind to learn from each other, you don't have anything, period, the end. And so, and we all want to be accepted. So if you're not being yourself, right, we're going to say, and this isn't no blame, but I don't think she was true to herself or honest about herself, or she doesn't know herself.
Yeah. Those and I think things, that's key.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
Where
yep.
I knew myself, and then she's, oh yeah, I can do that. And did these things. And the biggest thing, if anybody wants to take my advice of relationships, not that I'm perfect, but like, just give it time, like time, right? No one's perfect. Everybody wants to be accepted. See if the person will let you guide them in the ways you're strong. You let that person guide you. Take your time and, you know, years. I believe it's years.
Well, it's interesting that you're bringing up time, because I could battle you a little bit on this, and here's why. I don't disagree with what you're saying. And I think there's a key that people don't realize, right? Like, I can spend 2, 5, 10 years and 20, 30 years and never know the person I'm with. I see it all the time. I have people come in midlife,
yeah,
right? And they really, like, they've been projecting on each other. They've been playing their parts. They've been, you know, building their businesses. They've been living separate lives, all the things. And they don't, like, they have time, right?
Yeah.
And I really think the key.
How many of those people got married quick? A lot of them.
Yeah, but even, yes, and I agree with you. And there's a culture here that really fosters that in a really big way. So I'm not disagreeing with that.
And then I feel like they get stuck in society of like, well, we got married. We have kids. We should stay together for our kids.
Yep.
We should do this.
You could have done the same thing.
100%.
Right? And there is this like relentless, I can't. Again, I think you're wired. I'm showing up to the race. And if I'm looking at the guy next to me and I'm wondering about his bike and I'm wondering if I can help him, right? It's just like, I'm trying to use the analogy of yes, time matters. And I would say what matters more is every single moment that you're in, the more connected, the more honest, the more powerful, the more emotional, the more you show up, right? The clearer everything gets. And 100%. And I think that's the part of you. It's like, I don't want to waste time. And then you're saying in your own timeline, I want to show up and I want to give that time. I get that formula. I just want to be a little bit careful because.
Well, I just feel like people can wear that mask.
That's the thing.
And that's a scary thing for anybody out there dating.
It's like very scary.
They can wear that mask and it's, right, like I can be me and do everything. But, you know, somebody could say, right, when I just throw myself out there, hey, this is my, oh, okay. Yeah, I could do that. You know, and it's like, but can they really, you know, and that's why I say time. But,
yes.
You know, my relationship I'm in now, you know, it's been 4 years and, you know, even at the, she came out of a pretty bad relationship and she's allowed me to just take her really. Right. And that's a man's dream, but there's a lot of, in a woman's defense, there's a lot of, you know, men out there that aren't real men. They'll take that and take advantage of it.
Yeah.
And be like, oh yeah, she's, you know, been through a lot and I'm just going to take her and, you know, I'll put on this front and blah, blah, blah. And
okay, wait. So you're going to have to define that. So the relationship that you're in now, we're talking about she trusts you. When you say she allows me to take her, what are you really saying there?
She allows me to be the man fully, right?
But like, you're going to have to define that because everybody's going to define that differently. And I still believe that you're the stereotypical definition of a man is not exactly the same thing as what we're talking about here. I think there's a fullness, there's a wholeness to you that is super interesting. And again, we could say, oh yeah, similar to your dad, right? The strategy side, that side of your brain that you're talking about, is just like, I can be a man by doing all of these things, which you can do. Your dad taught you that. And there's a very real, your brain functions on both sides really well, right? It's just like, there is the emotion side of that. There is the power side of that. There's the creator side. There's, you play in both roles pretty well in some ways.
There's both roles.
So she lets you be a man. Give me a little bit more about that.
In an emotional way, you know, like as far as like, you know, her ex put her through a lot of stuff, right? Yeah. Cheated on her, did this, did that, you know, and belittle her and don't wear makeup. And it was all his own insecurities and all his own stuff. And here she is just being fully in her feminine, like a woman should, like they should be, truly, because you guys are feminine. But it's like, and he just took it and ran with it. Is what I'm saying. Like, he took it and was like, well, she's so sweet, she's so nice, she'll never leave me, she'll never this.
I took advantage this. Is kind of took, more what you're saying. Advantage. Okay. Okay.
You know, and so there's a lot of men, I call them little boys, that do that, right? And that's in women's defense, there's a lot of those guys out there.
Oh, I mean, huge.
Yeah. And you know, they don't know themselves. Yeah. They don't know where they're going. Yep, all the things. They're not in tune with their self. And so, you know, now that, you know, and what's so amazing about, you know, the gal I'm with now is she didn't give up. She just was like, well, I'm gonna do it again. That was him, and that doesn't mean every other guy's like that.
Yeah,
which is big.
It's huge.
Because there's a lot of girls out there that just, nope, I don't need a man. I'm gonna do it all on my own. There's no good men out there. And then it's like, okay, well, you haven't done the work either.
Yeah,
you know, because I get their point to some extent, but really, you know, it's the same thing with riding. It all goes back to riding, right? You just, you crash, you pick yourself up, you do it again.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's the thing is you just.
But to your point, not everybody does, right? Some people are like, I'm going to go play a different sport. Yeah. And they never come back and really understood what that really was. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting, right? Because you're really talking about the fact that she was still in her feminine and she was still really trying to trust the container of their relationship, whatever it is. He clearly, you know, hasn't figured his stuff out, and is trying to control and manipulate so that it makes him feel comfortable. And what really you're talking about as far as being a man goes, what I hear you saying is, and it's really what I'm this whole podcast is about in a lot of ways, is creating safety in a relationship. I think there's a lot of conversation about what a man is supposed to do, right? What a man is, what all of those things are, right? And how many of them are still walking around trying to be a man, whatever that looks like, and wearing a mask, right? And so when you're really creating safety and you're saying she can really fall into this relationship and trust and be in her feminine, which means, you know, she can experience all the things that she's experiencing, mostly your mirror and your reflection and the container that you create is, look, I'm going to be big. I'm going to be emotional. I am going to tell you the truth, regardless of whether you want to hear it or not. You're going to know what's in my mind. You might not want to hear everything that's in it, but I'm going to tell you anyways, right? And you don't have to guess. And that creates so much safety, and it creates so much connection and power to where you're not sitting there trying to figure out what mask you're supposed to wear, what you're supposed to say, what, you know, it's just like you being fully you is giving her permission to be fully her in a really big way. And that creates safety. Mm-hmm. And so some of these labels of like, okay, you know, what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to create safety? What does it mean to be a woman? There's a lot of like, okay, now go put on this mask again. Right. And it's that can get distorted really fast. Okay. Well, now I'm supposed to be this as a man. And then they cut off certain things that make them, transparent and honest. That's the
first problem right there. I think I need to be this. I think I need to be that. I think I should
exactly.
Do
it. Exactly.
When you start thinking like that,
you're already done.
Yeah, exactly.
you're already trying to lie to yourself.
100%. You're not being yourself.
Yes, so exactly.
Just be yourself and you'll find your person.
Yep.
Like 100%. Exactly. And it's like people need to just realize when they're being that 100%.
Yeah.
There's no better feeling because you know what you're retracting out there is true.
Yeah. You beautiful
know? Like you don't I don't know the best you
well
know, the
it's best. we'll really, you know, kind of drive the point home, because it's good advice. Be yourself. We've heard it our whole lives in some ways, right? Yet there's so many layers to what I think myself is, right? Like, there's, again, I'm, this is me, people, or this is, you know, right? Like,
people that's even been themselves, then they've gotten made fun of for that.
Great point.
And then they're, oh, I can't be like that. I'm getting made fun. It's like, no.
Or that's not right. Yeah. That's where we go into that right or like, wrong idea.
who cares?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, just do it for you. Don't do it for nobody else. Nobody at school, nobody at work, nobody around your family, nobody. You be you, be you, stay to you, stick to you. And if you do that, like, truly, I feel like that is, that's the gift of life.
I agree. And it's also extremely terrifying. And this is the part where we really got to give you credit in a lot of ways, because there is a shadow side to this. There's a dark side to this. There's a pain point to this that most people are trying to avoid. And that is the rejection. And that is the labels and things that people throw at you, whether it's, you know, you're too emotional, you're too much, you're, you know, whatever it is, right? Like, that being completely embodied and in your truth is some of the most courageous things that you could, it is the most courageous thing you could do, I think, in my opinion. And again, it doesn't not come with consequences. It doesn't not come with pain. It doesn't rejection and some of those things.
I've dealt with all of that.
Exactly.
You know, I've dealt with people. I mean, even, you know, even my dad says, you know, you rub people wrong because you're confident.
Yeah.
And you just come out with, and you say everything, and that's hard for people to accept.
Yeah.
But people that are the same way, it's not.
No.
So, you know, and that's what I've had to focus on, because if not, you know, I do rub someone wrong or whatever. Again, I'm still a human. I'm like, gosh, why do I rub them wrong? Like, what are, you know, like,
yeah.
And it's, but at the end of the day, I just have to go back to that same thing we've been talking about this entire time. Stick to yourself.
Yeah.
And you want people to accept you. And anybody that's not going to accept you for you, it's not, they're not really for you.
Yeah.
And it's,
and it's such a shallow way of living life. And I think that's the other part of it, right? Like, the reward that you get is, again, that completely embodied experience of, if I betray this, if I leave my body, if I go into my head, if I try and people please, if I go on the track and I'm trying to figure everybody else out, I will not get the same experience.
Yeah, and you feel like everything around you is not real.
Yeah, great point. Right? It's great point. Real. Great point.
Like, It's all yes. about everything around you feeling real.
Mm.
And it's like, beautiful. that's the feeling, right? Yeah. It's in it, everything's a feeling. Yep. Everything is a feeling in life. So it's yeah. like,
if it's or to like, avoid a feeling, yeah. let's be real, right? Like, yeah. if you can embody the feeling, that's where the realness comes in. And so, I think for anybody listening, there's just a very real awareness and understanding that we don't get here by just saying be yourself, right? Like, it takes so much courage, and mm-hmm. it does take rejection, and it does mean people are going to leave you, right? Like, it does mean that you are going to not be accepted by everybody. But it's interesting, because you sat down and you asked a question when we first started before the cameras were on, and it was a why does a certain thing keep happening to me in a certain way? Why do certain people keep coming back and we go through this cycle of you know, why is this happening? And I want to answer that question from my perspective in a very powerful way. And I think you embody something that we all really want. And I think we want permission to be that honest, that emotional, that powerful, to be able to express ourselves, to be able to stay that true to ourselves. And so I do believe people will come back over and over again, or really avoid or reject your mirror and your reflection, because it is scary for us to be able to do that. We haven't been conditioned to be in that space. And so we want to keep looking at that reflection, because it's like, could I be myself, right? Like, we almost want permission from you in a lot of ways. And I'm sure you experience that a lot of ways.
And, well, to be honest, like, anybody that's willing to admit that,
yeah.
or say that to me and actually do the work.
Yeah.
I love it.
I know.
Like, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll
but not everybody is.
I'll be your friend. Yeah, but it's like, that's the thing is.
But if subconsciously you I keep coming back.
To do that. And there's so many people that, you know, right, keep saying they want to change or want to do this or want to do that. And they just can't do it. It's like you and that's just controlling. You have to let go of control. You have to lower your ego. You might, in some circumstances, and this isn't me saying I'm great, but if I see something that I think somebody's better at, I got to be willing to say, man, I think you're better at this.
Totally.
And I like, tell me how you handle this.
Yeah.
Tell me how you do this.
Yeah.
Like, how did you make that happen? Like, don't think you know it all. Don't think you've got it all figured out, because the reality of it is, in life, none of us have it figured out.
No.
We're all just trying to figure it out down here.
Yeah.
We're doing the best we can do.
And the honesty and the connection to that statement is the freedom part of it, right? It's like I just get to be me, and that's human, and that's messy, and that's whatever labels you want to put on it, and being willing to continue to grow and stay open to, you know, a more evolved version of you each time, you know, is part of the fun, right? It's like it's going back to that track and saying, I'm going to take that corner a little differently this time, or I'm going to, you know, it's the smallest little things to say, it's between me and me, right? And so in that, I'm going to show up for the race, and the race being life, the race being whatever it is, right? The competition, it's like getting better in whether it's intimacy, whether it's relationships, whether it's owning your own business, no matter what it is, if you're willing to show up like that everywhere, there's just so much power in that. So I really appreciate you sharing. And again, I was really excited to have you on, because so many of the individuals and the couples that I work with, this is a concept and a framework that is terrifying. And most people really struggle with the idea of, you know, who am I? And then also being willing to have the container and the nervous system to show up powerfully in all of our emotions, and to be able to connect with another person in that space and be able to receive that reflection is such a huge practice. And so I just think you're just such a great reflection of this. So thank you for sharing.
Well, thanks. I mean, I think the world of you, you know that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had a relationship for years now, and, you know, I just think that even we all get stuck in things, you know, the way that you can help us see things different is amazing, because we're all, especially even if you're more strong-minded, we all get stuck
totally
at times, and we're like, oh no, this is it, and then you just have such a gift of, you know, spinning our brains into thinking other things, and that's, you know, so a lot of it's you know, owed to you and the things you've helped me grow, and